So we're doing a YouTube, we're doing a live stream, and we're doing a Skype teaching with our family members of Jesus Reigns Forever in Busia, Kenya, Africa. Hallelujah. Amen. So, okay, so today's the 24th of December, like I said, and this is part five, but part five, number A, meaning there's going to be more than one part to part five. So if you notice on your page, those who have a page, it says right here, December 21st, but it's 24th, Busia, Kenya, Africa, Jesus Reigns Forever Ministries, part 5A, right? Part 5A, okay? Okay, so the key topic today is, I wrote here, it's called the law of faith. The law of faith, or the faith of God, the law of the faith of God. So what we're going to do today, we're just going to really look at some verses from the New Testament, and what the Word says, what God says, not what man says, not what Gabriel says. I know you all like Gabriel, but I have to choose between Gabriel and Jesus. I'll take Jesus over Gabriel any day. Right? We love Jesus, right? We all love Jesus over there? Okay, so we don't want to know what Pierre says or what Gabriel says or what man says about faith. We want to know what the Word says about faith, right? Amen. Okay, so you've got a lot of verses on here, but some verses we're going to skip. Okay, we're not going to look at every verse, okay? So the first one, we're doing okay. The first verse we're going to look at here is Matthew 8:10. Matthew 8:10. Yeah. So remember, this is the Amplified. We're using the Amplified. So you may not be used to using the Amplified, but this is a good way to get used to using another translation. So let's read it together. We can read it all together for those who have the notes. That's why I wanted you guys to have the notes, so we can read it together. Okay? So starting with Matthew 8:10, let's read it together. When Jesus heard him, he marveled and said to those who followed him, who adhered steadfastly to him, conforming to example in living and, if need be, in dying also, I tell you the truth, I have not found so much faith as this with anyone, even in Israel. Right? That's what the Word says. So here in Matthew 8, we're talking about the centurion. Right? It's about the centurion here. So I don't have time to do a teaching on the centurion right now. We're going to do a teaching on what the Word says about what Jesus said to the centurion about great faith. Even more than the faith of Israel. Okay? But the key word is here, is that I underlined it in blue, right? You got the colors, right? It says, I have not found so much faith. So much faith. So God is looking for great faith. God is looking for much faith. He just is. That's what His Word says. That's what His Word says. Great faith, right? He's looking for great faith. All right? So let's move on to the next verse, right below it. Matthew 9:2. Right below it. 9:2, yeah. So let's read it together, okay? Let's read it together. And behold, a man paralyzed and prostrated with illness, lying on a sleeping pad. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, take courage, son, your sins are forgiven and the penalty remitted. Okay? So the key word I underlined there was Jesus saw their faith. Jesus saw. He saw with his eyes. He saw their faith. That's very important here. I just wrote here, the faith of God will put you in action mode. It will put you in action. Whatever God promised you, there's got to be a corresponding action to what God said to you. And when you respond to that word, to God, that's faith. That's part of faith. Okay? Because he saw their faith. Okay? All right. Let's move on to the same chapter, but verse 22 and 29. Matthew 9, 22 and 29. Let's read it together. Verse 22 first. Jesus turned around and, seeing her, he said, "Take courage, daughter. Your faith has made you well." And at once the woman was restored to health. Wow. Hallelujah. Verse 29. Next verse. Let's read it together. Verse 29. Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith and trust and reliance on the power invested in me, be it done to you." To you. So, this is all about faith for healing and wellness. Faith for healing. Faith for healing. Healing in your body. Right? So we can have strong bodies. You understand? So when someone is sick and they die, that's not God taking them. No, that's your lack of faith. Okay? People don't like to hear that. When they get sick, they die, people say, "Oh, God took them." God didn't take them. The disease took them. God don't go around killing people with disease. Okay? Because Jesus bore the disease at the cross. Right? Did Jesus bore a disease at the cross? Yeah. So how God can use diseases to take us home to heaven? No. God don't take diseases. God don't take us home to heaven with diseases. Okay. Let's flip the page. Turn the page. Turn the page. Turn the page. Page 2. At the bottom. Page 2. Okay? At the top of the page. At the top. Matthew 15, 28. Okay? Yeah. Matthew 15, 28. Okay, let's read it together. Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you wish." And her daughter was cured from that moment. Right? So, here it says, be it done to you as you wish, as you desire. But I wrote here, we must desire what God desires for us. We talked about this before. The will of God. So we know it's God's will for all men to be saved, right? The Bible says it's God's will for all men to be saved and come to know knowledge of the truth. And we know, as we read the Gospels, that it's the Lord's will to heal all those who are sick. It's His will. Matthew 17, 20. He said to them, "Because of the littleness of your faith, that is your lack of firmly relying trust, for truly I say to you, if you have faith that is living like a grain of mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, move from here to yonder place, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Did you hear that? Okay. So, here it says, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, meaning, if your faith as a seed, meaning your faith has to grow. It has to grow. Faith as a seed means, equals, faith has to grow. Meaning, it doesn't remain little, but it becomes big. That's what he's talking about. Okay? Next verse, Matthew 21, 21. The next verse, 21, 21. And Jesus answered them, truly I say to you, if you have faith, a firm relying trust, and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it will be done. It will be done. Jesus promised us, if we have faith and do not doubt, and do not doubt, we will say, we will speak, and it will be done for us. Right? That's what it says. That's what God says. All right. Let's move to the next one. Mark 5:34. Yeah. And he said to her, daughter, your faith, your trust and confidence in me, springing from faith in God, has restored you to health. Go into peace and be continually healed and freed from your distressing bodily disease. Wow. So here it says, if you don't have faith, you will not be restored. Because she was restored to health because she had faith. Right? She was restored because she had faith. So if she had no faith, she could not be restored. So if you're sick and you're not restored, it's because you got no faith. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Okay? Mark 10:52. Yeah. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has healed you. And at once he received his sight and accompanied Jesus on the road. Wow. He got his sight back. He got his sight back because of his faith. That's what it says. Your faith has healed you. He didn't say God healed you. He said your faith heals you. Is that what he said? Your faith heals you. Why? Yeah, why? Because faith puts God to work. Faith puts God to work. And faith has a voice. I'm going to teach on that. All right. Mark, next one. Mark 11, 22 to 24. We're doing okay. Mark 11, 22-24. Okay, let's read it together. And Jesus, replying, said to them, have faith in God constantly. Whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. Verse 24. For this reason I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe trust and be confident that it is granted to you and you will get it. You will have it. So, verse 23, in the King James or the New King James, it's got the word say three times. Three times it says say, 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 whatever he says, okay? And at the end of verse 23 in the King James, I should have put the King James there, I'm sorry. At the end of the King James or the New King James, it says, he shall have whatever he says. You can have whatever you say. You can have whatever you say. Let me keep going. Luke 7:50. Luke 7:50, page 3. Page 3, Luke 7:50. But Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go enter into peace and freedom from all the distresses that are experienced as a result of sin. So here we've got the word saved, but in most translations you've got the word healed. That's what I taught before. The word sozo, many times from the Greek, it's translated healed in the Gospels. And that's one of the instances. The word saved is sozo, meaning healed. She was healed by her faith. Your faith has saved you. God wants to save us from diseases. All right? Okay, let's go at the bottom. Acts 6. Acts 6, verse 5, and then 7 and 8. Okay, 5. Let's start with 5. And the suggestion pleased the whole assembly, and they selected Stephen, a man full of faith, a strong, welcome belief that Jesus is the Messiah, and full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit, and Philip and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte, convert from Antioch. Verse 7, and the message of God kept on spreading, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and besides, a large number of the priests were obedient to the faith in Jesus, the Messiah, through whom is obtained eternal salvation in the kingdom of God. And then verse 8, now Stephen, full of grace, divine blessing and favor and power, strength and ability, worked great wonders and signs, miracles among the people. Amen? Did you get that? So here it says that Stephen, verse 5, Stephen was full of faith. He was full of faith. And also full of the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit. And in verse 8, it says he was full of grace and full of power and worked great wonders and signs among the people because he was full of faith. Acts 6:8, it says, Stephen again, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people because he was full of faith. Because he's full of faith. All right? Then we've got here in Acts 14:9, 22 and 27. So 9. He was listening to Paul as he talked, and Paul gazing intently at him and observing that he had faith to be healed. See, he saw his faith. 22, establishing and strengthening the souls and the hearts of the disciples, urging and warning and encouraging them to stand firm in the faith, and telling them that it is through many the hardships and tribulations we must enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 27, arriving there, they gathered the church together and declared all that God had accomplished with them and how he had opened to the Gentiles a door of faith in Jesus as the Messiah, through whom we obtain salvation in the kingdom of God. So there's some key words here. We already touched verse 9. But then verse 22, we've got that they to stand firm in the faith. Stand firm in the faith. Stand firm in the faith. Through many hardships and tribulations, we must enter in the kingdom of God, because the opposition we have out there in the world. Because the opposition. Acts 59. It says here, and he made no difference between us and them, but cleansed their hearts by faith. By a strong and welcome conviction that Jesus is the Messiah, through whom we obtain eternal salvation in the kingdom of God. So here it says that their hearts were cleansed by faith. Phonem. Their hearts were cleansed by faith. Acts 16:5. It says here, so the churches were strengthened and made firm in the faith. In the faith. I'm going to touch on that down the road. This is not talking about an individual's faith, but talking about the faith. And Jude talks about the faith that was handed down to the saints, that we need to contend for the faith. Because there's all kinds of faiths out there. All kinds. But there's only one faith according to God that'll save you, that'll heal you, that'll save you in the true sense of the word sozo, and it's faith in Christ Jesus. All right? So we're back again. Are you back? Okay, here in Acts 20:21.
Can you hear him?
Yeah, I can hear him. You can hear me? Acts 20:21. But constantly and earnestly I bore testimony both to the Jews and Greeks, urging them to turn in repentance that is due to God and to have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's page 4. Page 4. Acts 20:21. Having faith in who? In our Lord Jesus Christ. All right? Acts 24:24. Some days later, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewish. She was a Jew. And he sent for Paul and listened to him talk about faith in Christ Jesus. We need to talk about faith in Christ Jesus. How to put our faith, our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation, for our healing, for our provision, for our strength, for everything in life. Because Jesus, we know who Jesus is. As Christians, we know who Jesus is. He's the second Adam. He's the last Adam. He's our Savior. He's our Master. He's the Messiah. Acts 26:18. Acts 26:18. Yeah. To open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may thus receive forgiveness and release from their sins and a place and portion among those who are consecrated and purified by faith in Jesus. So here it says that we can be consecrated and we could be purified by putting our faith in Jesus. All right? So, page 5. Page 5. Right at the top. Right at the top. Romans 1. Romans 1. We got verse 5, 8, 12, and then 16 to 17. So we're just going to read here. We're going to skip verse 16. So verse 5, it says, it is through him that we have received grace, God's unmerited favor, and our apostleship to promote obedience to the faith and make disciples for his name's sake among all the nations. Verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because the report of your faith is made known to all the world and is commended everywhere. Verse 12. That is, that we may be mutually strengthened and encouraged and comforted by each other's faith, both yours and mine. So let's skip down to verse 17. Don't go to verse 16. Verse 17. For in the gospel, a righteousness which God ascribes is revealed, both springing from faith and is leading to faith, disclosed through the way of faith that arouses to more faith. As it is written, the man who shall through faith is just and upright shall live, and shall live by faith. So I just want to touch on here, verse 12, that we may be mutually strengthened and encouraged and comforted by each other's faith. And that's what we're doing today. Mutually strengthened, strengthening one another, encouraging one another, comforting one another in our faith. And then down in verse 17, it says that through faith that we're made just and upright, we shall also live by faith. So once we're born again, we're saved by faith, then we need to keep walking by faith. It's not time to stop walking by faith. We got to keep walking by faith. You guys hearing me? Okay, good. All right. Okay, Romans 3:3. What if some did not believe and were without faith? Does their lack of faith and their faithlessness nullify and makes ineffective and void the faithfulness of God and His fidelity to His Word? No. But here it says that you can have lack of faith. Some people lack faith. That's what it says. But it does not nullify God's faithfulness in the sense that God will still go around healing and saving other people that do have faith. Okay? This does not justify that you can have not have faith and God will still come through for you. No, that's not what this is saying. Okay, Romans 3 again. We've got verse 22, 25, 27 to 28, and 30 to 31. So we're going to skip verse 22 actually here. We're going to go right down to 25. Okay, 25. Whom God put forward before the eyes of all as a mercy seat and propitiation by His blood, the cleansing and life-giving sacrifice of atonement and reconciliation to be received through faith. See? This was to show God's righteousness because in His divine forbearance He had passed over and ignored former sins without punishment. Verse 27. Then what becomes of our pride and our boasting? It is excluded, banished, ruled out entirely. On what principle? On the principle of doing good deeds? No. But on the principle of faith, the law of faith, the King James has. For we hold that a man is justified and made upright by faith, independent of and distinctly apart from good deeds, works of the law. The observance of the law has nothing to do with justification. Verse 30. Since it is one and the same God who will justify the circumcised by faith, which germinated from Abraham, and the uncircumcised through their newly acquired faith. Okay, we're going to stop there. We're going to skip verse 31. So it says here that it's by faith that we're justified, made upright by faith. And here it says, it mentions in verse 27, the principle of faith, the law of faith, which is something we're going to look at into more in greater details. Because the law of faith is the only law that God responds to on this earth. Faith in His Word. Okay, verse Romans 4 now. Verse 5. And then we got 9 and then 11 to 14. There's so much in here. But anyhow, but to one who, not working by the law, trusts, believes fully in Him who justifies the ungodly. That's page 6, last page, last page. His faith is credited to him as righteousness, the standing acceptable to God. Verse 9, verse 11, skip down verse 11. He received the mark of circumcision as a token or as an evidence and seal of the righteousness which he had by faith, while he was still uncircumcised. Faith, so that he was to be made the father of all who truly believe, through, though without circumcision, and who thus have righteousness, right standing with God, imputed to them and credited to their account. That's the Amplified. 12. As well as that he be made the father of those circumcised persons who are not merely circumcised, but also, very important here, also walk in the way of that faith which our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. Verse 13. I love verse 13. For the promise to Abraham or his posterity that he should inherit the world. Wow. Inherit the world. Going back to the world of the wicked. Going back to what we read last time out of Genesis 1, where God gave Adam dominion over the earth. Over the earth. He said, subdue it. I give you dominion over it. Subdue it. And then through observing the commands of the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Verse 14, if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, then the faith is made futile and empty of all meaning, and the promise of God is made void, is annulled, and has no power. Okay, last references here. And then we're going to stop it for now. We had some minor difficulties, technical difficulties with our brother in Busia. It's the internet over there. They don't have strong a strong signal, but we're going to keep going because we're doing live stream and we're doing a video here, a YouTube video. So last here is Romans 4, 16 to 21. This one is out of the New King James. I love this whole chapter, or this whole portion of this chapter. Verse 16, and I use the New King James for a reason, and not the Amplified, because the Amplified has a couple things wrong. Therefore, 16, it is a faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17, I love verse 17. Oh, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead, wow, and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. We're going to teach on that down the road. That's a huge part of the law of faith. I remember when the Lord gave me this. He woke me up in the morning, and he gave me Romans 4, and he said, get used to it. Get used to what? Calling those things that be not as though they were. It's part of mind renewal too. Verse 18. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, meaning the promise, so shall your descendant be. 19. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider. Most translations has, he considered, but it's wrong. The King James, the New King James, the majority text, the received text, the Textus Receptus has it right. It's got the word not. Not something, I'm going to do a whole teaching on that one day. He did not consider his body. Meaning he did not consider circumstances. He did not consider his body, already dead since he was about 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. The walk of faith will set you free from your circumstances. Where your circumstances become irrelevant. Where you're no longer moved by what you see. That's part of it right here. 20, and he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. His faith strengthened him. Faith will make you strong in the midst of circumstances that are contrary to what God has promised you. And verse 21, and being fully convinced, that's very important. That's a big part of faith. Faith is being fully persuaded, fully convinced that what God had promised, He was also able to perform. So you're going to become convinced, fully persuaded, not only of the promise that God gave you, but you also got to become fully persuaded that God is able, has the power to perform what He has promised you. So I thank you for my the live stream audience. I thank you for watching, and thank you for your comments, and for the YouTube also. And we will see you next time, which will be part 5B. Thank you very much. Shalom.